This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I talk about our couple music fests we went to. I make another trip back to Hopewell, and we're drinking some Solemn Oath cans. All that and more on this week's episode.
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? It's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Press. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, I'm Nick White.
And we got a fun episode. We did a lot this week.
We were active, man. Mm-hmm. We were active. It's fun, man.
Beer often slows you down, but yeah. We made it out. This is your first time listening to Chicago Beer Pass. What we do on here is we talk about our past week, the events we made it to, beer-related, of course, and then what's coming up this week. Yeah. And as always, we're drinking local beer, this time out from Naperville, Illinois. So a little outside the city. What are they, like 40-minute drive?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. And this is from Solemn Oath.
Yeah. This is the fun sponge. I know at one point Solemn Oath was talking about like exploring, you know, a city location. Uh-huh. Like not moving, just having like a second location in the city. So this is, what is this? Oh, it's a Belgian American Blonde Ale.
Right. So 4.8%, so nice and light, easy drinking.
Yeah. It's like, it kind of tastes like, gives you those notes of Allagash White, right? But without the heavy body.
For sure, yeah. No, it's more just nice session beer, but yeah, those same flavors. It's kind of unique.
Yeah,
I haven't really had too many beers like that.
Yeah, this is and they're really into Vikings down there. So the artwork on the can, because you know they've got the Viking series. I guess Pipeworks has the Ninja series, and these guys are like, you know, ravaged by Vikings and you know, pillaged by Vikings. That's all their IPAs. Yeah, so there's some really cool artwork of like Vikings on horses and skulls and all that kind of cool stuff that those folks are into.
There's a really good episode of Good Beer Hunting recently with John Barley. And they talked about the expansion into cans and how, you know, a little bit on that city thought and like moving or going to another state and like just issues and trouble that they go through.
Yeah, because they, I know they were in Bombers initially.
Yeah.
And then they moved to cans. And they're, Chicago's probably their biggest market, but I know they're in Wisconsin now.
Yeah, and then they're doing like, because John just got married, they did like a, you know, a drop shipment into, I forget where he got married at.
Somewhere on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you see that a lot. Like Russian River, they, only California, only the West Coast, but then they're in Philly.
Yeah.
Like these folks, like even the Rev guys, they got Boston roots, so their beer might not be in Iowa, but it's in Boston.
Sure.
Yeah, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's always neat to see.
Yeah.
So yeah, check out these cans. New on the shelf, there's this one and one other can out. I'm blanking on the name of it, but usually buy each other black and white kind of look to them. So check them out. Always.
This is a cool can. I like this can a lot.
I think they kind of went away from the Bombers. I don't think we'll see too many Bombers from them anymore because they were selling so much beer on draft and the tap room that I think the cans are now going to replace the Bombers. And people don't really want Bombers anymore.
It's a commitment.
Yeah.
You know, like, what are you going to do,
man? At least in Chicago. Like, this may change. This may be different somewhere else, but in Chicago, although, you know, Pipeworks puts out like a Bomber a week, people aren't buying them. Like, I don't. They take up a lot of space and, like you said, a commitment.
Yeah.
So cans are the way to go.
No.
So we dive into this week and the things we made it to.
For sure, man. Let's get into it, man. Big musical fest this weekend, man.
Yeah, we talked all about music fest on the last episode, and we had Pitchfork, and then we had the open air Chicago.
Chicago open air.
Chicago open air. Okay.
This thing was so fucking metal, man.
Well, let's before we get metal, I'll start with Friday because I made it over to Pitchfork to see some Carly Rae Jepsen.
There you go.
So I was over there, but also was there for the beer too.
Yeah. So two new beers this year. Well, one's an oldie but goodie, the Four Cone.
Four Cone, yeah.
Which is nice to see a pale ale, because lately they've been leaning towards the lagers at these events when Goose makes a beer with the festival or an artist.
Mm-hmm. And then the Twin Peaks, or Natural Villain, was their beer with Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
And it was a lager.
Yeah, it's kind of like everyone's doing nowadays, like those like Mexican-inspired lagers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're seeing Finch. When I went to Finch, they had one.
Okay.
There's one called Burrito from Oscar Blues.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's jumping on. That's in vogue. That and something with grapefruit in it are like.
Those are the two things right now. Yeah. The beer's good. Not like anything I'd be like, oh my God, you have to try this beer. It's like, right. That was fine. I don't need to have it again. I had it at the festival and that was cool.
Yeah. I think the last beer that I really got excited about was the Run the Jewels, which was a like super hoppy wheat ale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, they've been playing it safe, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all the beers were three tickets, so you could get a 4-star Pils or 312 for the same price you could get a Natural Villain or a Sophie.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I'm going to get a Sophie and Natural Villain. Like, forget this 4-star Pils business.
You know, in a can, I want the Sophie. That was sat in a barrel that was made around the corner. That's what I'm getting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there was also a booth set up for Virtue Cider.
Virtue Cider had a huge presence this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since they're owned by Goose, technically AB.
Mm-hmm. Air quotes.
Yeah, AB. they were able to be there because I was like, why is Virtue here? This is weird. But made sense. I did grab the new Michigan Brute. I tried that.
Yeah, that's the farmhouse.
Yep.
Yeah, I tried the Prince Hal.
Oh, okay.
I forget which one that is.
How was it?
It was crisp and clean.
Okay.
You know, it was like they're the cider equivalent to a lager, I suppose. The Michigan Brute was a little more funky.
Yeah.
This one was just clean, straightforward.
Yeah, and I haven't been drinking much cider, haven't had really any cider lately, so for me it was kind of like it felt sweet and everything at the same time, so I was kind of like, this wasn't what I wanted at the music at outside in the summer, but it was tasty.
it's odd that the beers are more refreshing than cider at a music fest. For me, this it was the same thing.
Right.
Yeah. Even after my nacho mole from tamales, they had the nachos with the tamale on it. It was a nacho mole.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Oh man.
No, sorry. Yeah. but that was Pitchfork for me. Definitely a good time. Drank quite a bit and just like, it was fun.
Yeah, and make it there. Your girl Carly Rae. Apparently, she came back out too for like I think it was like the Savages. She came out and was like a guest on someone else's act.
Oh, she was. Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. I read a little bit about that.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I like how Pitchfork gets you know, the three stages, and if you go to that blue stage, the one that's the smallest of the three.
Yeah.
That it doesn't feel like you're in an urban setting at all anymore because you're surrounded by trees. So when that stage is full, it looks cool. It's like this really big party in like the middle of a forest or something.
Yeah, we were over there for a little bit. That's usually where the DJs or the hip hop artists play, and so that was neat. But yeah, it's always packed over there.
Yeah,
it's hard. You can't. There's no easy way to get around at that fest at that stage. I don't know. I don't know how you get on the other side. Or if you get over there, how do you get out?
Now I gotta stay. I was just trying to check it out. Now I gotta stay till this act's over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you made it over there on Saturday.
Yeah. So I made it Saturday, and tried all the beers. All the beers.
Every beer that was available there?
All the beers. And I played this video. I played this video game, man.
Oh, I totally forgot about that, yeah.
Dude, this thing was super cool. So I guess it was like a BitBash, which I believe is like a local computer company or video game company.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do.
Arcade has worked with them before. Okay.
Yeah. So it's basically like it's like a server game. It's kind of like a, you know,
it's Tapper.
Yeah.
It's kind of Tapper.
It's Tapper-ish. Yeah. With the skylines behind you, and you got to build points by like serving folks.
But you
beer.
Just throw, you throw a beer, I don't know, waiters.
Like a tray.
Tray.
Yeah.
And it bounces and ricochets around, and when it lands on a table, your points are totaled up.
So it's somewhere between like Tapper and pinball, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But it was cool, nicely designed. It was neat to see the Goose bus like in there.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Totally vintage like 80s Atari 2600 graphics on this Goose Island IPA video game.
Yeah.
It was pretty slick.
No, I kind of
liked it.
Yeah. I could see putting that together. It wouldn't be too complicated if you knew how to program.
Yeah.
That was cool.
So that was cool.
And then you made it over to the other music festival as well, right?
Yeah, man. Chicago Open Air is the first annual. So it's like metal and then industrial and hard rock, right? There were like 26 acts over 3 days, this kind of thing, right? And, you know, it's like we were talking last week, you know, like Rammstein is making their first appearance here. So apparently Rammstein comes out in like a suicide vest.
Yeah.
You know, and this is like the German Metallica, right? Comes out in a suicide vest. He shoots fireworks from the vest. And then the vest turns into a crystal ball. And then he gets on a keyboard on a treadmill and starts playing the keyboard. And then like every time he plays a note, fireworks shoot out. So fireworks and fire is their thing, right? Yeah, so it was a nostalgic feel to it. Everybody there, even though if they had new material, they were playing like their older stuff, like Marilyn Manson. Okay. Like, you know, he might pull out a knife. His microphone doubles as a butcher knife, like the handle is a butcher knife.
Okay.
And, you know, he burns a Bible, this kind of thing. This is the kind of
all right.
On a Sunday, this is like very it's a different kind of vibe, man. But yeah. Oh, but yeah, so the beer, right? So like you know, if you go to Chicago Fire Game, all you're getting is like Miller Lite Tall Boys and, you know, Corona Tall Boys, that kind of thing.
Goose is there.
Is Goose there?
Goose or Rev are there.
They are there.
Yeah.
All right.
I know I was drinking 4-star pills when I was there last time.
Okay. Or yeah, so you're getting the 4-star pills. Yeah, you're getting like these tall boy cans, right? So this fest had like 6 or 7, like, you know, proper beers there, you know, from Surly and Lagunitas. So that was cool. Okay. It didn't stray a whole lot from stuff you can buy in the store. Which was okay, but they kind of
probably had hell, right?
Surly, yeah,
hell. Like, so it was probably like very themed of like you gotta have Surly,
yeah.
You gotta have their like I'm like blanking on some of their besides like Furious. Maybe there's Furious.
Yeah, there's Surly Furious. There's their Hell's Lager. Yeah, and then Iron Maiden had a beer.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a brewery in England called Robinson's, and apparently Iron Maiden like revived this brewery because they were about to close, but now they got this Iron Maiden beer. This beer kind of tastes like Harp. The one that Guinness makes, the lager that Guinness makes, it tastes a lot like that.
Okay.
Yeah, but.
How was it laid out? Was it all outside?
Yeah, so there were two main stages. There's a stage in the stadium, and then there's the parking lot stage.
Okay.
And they would just rotate back and forth, you know. Someone died there on Friday.
Whoa.
Yeah, like someone fell from like, you know, the second level concourse all the way to the ground level. Yeah. But dude, but walking like if you're in the parking lot stage and you're going to the main stage, it's like walking steps to a castle to get inside this thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of steps up.
Yeah, I kind of wish that you know, the VIP experience were a little more VIP. So
too good for the regular.
And I hate the word VIP. I hate it.
This guy.
Now I'm that guy, you know. No, but like you could get all the beer in the Jack Daniel's VIP lounge. But all the cool food that they had been advertising, most of that was in the general admission area. You know, so you got to go outside of VIP to wait in line if you wanted to get like Kumas or these super cool hot dogs that they're bragging about.
Okay.
You know, so there was a beer hall. It was a Headbangers beer hall. It was a completely different tent, and it was like a big genie bottle, right? There's like you can get like crypt paints on your, you know, face paint. You can get like like funeral face paint. You can get, you know, like pinball, you know, it's a DJ set.
Okay.
That kind of thing.
Damn, my, this is, I don't.
Yeah, it was.
I feel like you had to have been there to even.
It's, it was intense, man. It was intense, yeah.
All right, that's cool. Two totally different music festivals this weekend.
Yeah. And
you made it to both. If you had to pick one.
I don't know. Pitchfork is one of my favorite
and
events.
And it's in Chicago, so it's easy to get.
Oh, yeah, and then you don't have to go to, like, I don't know, Broadview, like Harlem and 71st, like somewhere way south.
Right.
Yeah.
Texas.
Yeah. I swear, man, I pulled over and, like, and really had to, like, take a break from driving. I'm like, yo, seriously? Like, we've been on the road for, like, 3 hours, yo.
You needed to get on, like, the Reggie's Rock bus. I bet they had a bus.
See, that would be – where's the suggestion box?
Because Reggie's is still a place,
yeah, I've
right?
seen the Reggie's Rock bus.
I haven't
yeah.
heard anything from them in so long.
Yeah. Huh. It was fun. It's different.
Okay.
Yeah. I survived the
That's
weekend.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Anything else you check out then?
Oh, yeah. I went to Best Intentions, which is right in Logan for the Virtue Cider Michigan Brute.
Yes.
Launch event. So they did something like this last week at Money Gun downtown. Yeah, and they did the same thing on the patio at Best Intentions. They have a killer patio, by the way. Their patio's fantastic.
Nice, okay.
So they're grilling sausages. You know, you see Greg Hall. Mm-hmm. I saw Lafleur there. You know, I asked Lafleur about the what he thought about the Penrose thing. You know, I'm like, have you ever been in a situation like where you consider, you know what I mean? Because, like, well, one of the founders of Penrose in Geneva, they split. They fell out with the investors. And he was like, man, you know, I would never that hasn't happened to me personally, but you can see how that would happen if you don't have a lot of investors. He was saying his investor crew is really diverse. Like, he's got a ton of investors.
Yeah.
But he could see, like, if he only had, like, one or two investors, how he might get pissed off, and it might lead to, you know,
I'd love to
permanent separation.
We didn't talk about that in the news, but I'd love to hear more about that story and talk to Hobbs, because pretty friendly with Hobbs. So
yeah, I mean, you guys, I want to say on a Hobcast, you guys broke the Penrose story.
Yeah, we did.
So you guys are pretty. Yeah, you guys have a good relationship. So, yeah. So
it was an interesting story. If anyone doesn't know, Eric Hobbs was basically out of Penrose. He's still a investor, or he's still like a
co-founder.
He's still
a
co-founder, but he's not involved with the business activities anymore.
So they had a serious disagreement.
He'll always be a you can't ever like stop being a co-founder because you found it.
Right.
Once it's founded, it's founded, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so that was a cool chat. It was cool catching up with Lafleur, man. I was like, so how did the barrel aged dinosaurs launch go? He's like, yeah, you know, he asked his crew to hold like a specific amount of it back for him, but they like basically sold it all.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. I'm like, that sounds like a good problem to have.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, oh, but I was there for the Virtue Cider.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Michigan Brute. So, Michigan Brute is a farmhouse ale. I think we just talked about that.
Right.
And then they had a drink there called the Chastity Belt. So Chastity Belt was a rye whiskey, honey syrup, lemon, and some bitters from the Czech Republic.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. So that was good.
All right. I made it over again to Hopewell.
Dude, I think you're
it was like 2 weeks in a row.
I think you're in love, man. I think you
I was over nearby there for dinner, and then people were like, oh, where should we go? They were like, oh, we could go to Logan Arcade. I was like, well, have you guys been over to Hopewell?
Yeah.
And so showed them this place, and they're like, oh, this is pretty sweet. And it was pretty quiet in there. It was like around 11, so they were closing. Not too far off from that, so
yeah.
And we're just catching Pokemon, sitting in there drinking.
I broke down and downloaded it, man.
Okay,
it's been the topic for I downloaded it, so I haven't created a player yet.
It's perfect thing to do when you're sitting at the bar, you just leave it open, drink, catch Pokemon,
yeah, right on.
But yeah, that was I think we did it this week. We like,
I feel like we got after it,
yeah,
you know.
Can we repeat for this week? What is happening?
Let's see what's going
coming
on,
up. Man. What's on the calendar here?
All right, so let's start with Wednesday, man.
Wednesday, okay.
Brad's favorite brewery, Hopewell, is having a get to know you party at the Chop Shop. Chop Shop's right in Wicker Park, right at North and Damon. So this is a beer dinner on Wednesday, July 20th. Four beers, four courses, $40 at Chop Shop.
Nice, okay.
Yeah.
And Chop Shop, where the original Brouhaha events.
Exactly. So Chop Shop, the first level of Chop Shop is part restaurant, part event space. And then you go upstairs, and it's a full restaurant with like a patio. It's actually a very groovy spot. Yeah, and then it's also a butcher shop as well, so that's the name. Yeah, so.
Nice, so that's Wednesday, and how much was it?
That is a $40 ticket.
$40 ticket, all right.
Yeah.
Good food over there, so that's probably definitely worth it.
Yeah.
Anything else during the week?
Let's go on to Thursday. Thursday the 21st is Half Acre Tiki Night at Patty Long's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Patty Long's, and they're doing a fruit-infused beer, a bacon-racked pineapple, and they're having a DJ set list by the Half Acre guys, and they're doing four Half Acre beers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Tiki and beer doesn't usually go together.
No,
that's a weird combination.
I think what they did was, one of their beers, I think Freedom of 78, the one they did with Shorts, has like some kind of fruit in it. And then I think they're taking the other Half Acre beers and then kind of either like firking them with fruit or making like just fruit-inspired cocktails.
Nice, okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense. All right, so that's Thursday over at Patty Long's. Mm-hmm. Check that out.
Yeah. And then we dive right into Saturday, man.
All right. I know out at Tribes, beer company. Yeah. Tribes is out in Tinley Park. Mm-hmm. It is the Tribes Fest 4.
Yeah.
So this is, I guess they've done this fest for 4 years. This, I'm sure we talked about it probably on here.
Yeah.
But it's two sessions, $45 per session. There's 25 breweries, and you get 10 7-ounce tasters, which, you know, you can probably always get more. I feel like the you get 10 drinks is a suggestion.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So check that out in Tinley Park.
Yeah, that's a cool setup. David, who's over there, was he was a head brewer at Half Acre for a few years. No. Haymarket.
At Haymarket.
At Haymarket before he split for the Tribes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's Saturday. Anything else on Saturday?
Yeah, 18th Street over in Gary and now Hammond, Indiana. They're doing a series of tap takeovers on Saturday. So they've got four bars, Skylark Small Bar, Northdown, and Map Room. So they're going to be taking over all four bars all day long on Saturday.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, and if that's it for Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Is the Belgian Brewfest Partners Brews Crew?
That's right, on July 24th. That's also Saturday. It's not that Sunday.
That's Sunday. That's Sunday. Okay.
Yeah, so they're doing this is boat 3 of 3 for them. So this is the Belgian Independence Day celebration, where they're gonna have like Belgian waffles and all Belgian breweries. This is a Belgian themed Sunday fun day boat leaving Navy Pier.
Okay.
Yeah, nice. And we were on the previous ones.
Yeah,
and that's a party and a half right there.
Yeah, I have some friends who were like, "That was awesome. Yeah. I'm doing this one."
That's a good time.
Oh, all right, sweet. I will sadly not be able to make that one.
Yeah, I think Kurt Form is onto something with that series. So, yeah, if you're looking for something to do and you haven't been on a boat this summer, This is your shot, man.
I think it's going to be hot this weekend, too, so it'll be a good reason to be on a boat.
Good boat weather. Yeah, because, you know, 70 on ground and then is too cold for the water.
Yeah.
But you're talking like 90s?
I think it's like 110.
God damn.
So, yeah, you want to be out on the water. You might have to just jump in and be like, oh, I fell off.
Oh, man.
Anything else on Sunday, then?
No, that's it on Sunday. Next week, we'll probably talk about it again, but next week on the 27th, which I believe is next Tuesday, at Kaiser Tiger, Metropolitan and Off Color are getting together for a Zwickle beer takeover.
Nice.
Heliostat is the Zwickle from Metro, and then You Never Take Me Anywhere Nice is the Zwickle from Off Color.
Oh, okay. So is Heliostat in bottles?
I don't know. I don't know. I think that's their fresh, unfiltered summer lager.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I wonder if they're bottling that. Maybe not yet. Maybe not this year.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, though. I feel like they usually bottle their beers.
I think you're right. Yeah, even like Magnetron.
Yeah.
All the one-off stuff's usually bottled.
I'll have to look for it next time in the store, because I do love Bazwickle. I love Urban Chestnut Zwickle.
Yeah. That's a fun beer, man. It's just like it's subtly nuanced. And you can really pick up those nuanced flavors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's all the events we have on the calendar for this week and a little bit into next. But any beer news before we get out of here, besides this Penrose thing that we kind of touched on a little bit?
Yeah, man, that sucks, man. Because they were like, so Quarter was the barrel program manager at Goose. And then Eric Hobbs was like one of the sales guys at Goose. And they both bolted to start their own thing in Geneva. I think Hobbs is from Geneva that played into it. And then they have this massive space, you know, copper tanks, just a beautiful tap room. And, you know, they're hitting home runs with their beers. Everyone loves their sours. Everyone loves their, you know, their pale ales, you know. And now it comes out a year or two after they start that Hobbs is leaving because the investors want to go in a different direction, it sounds like.
Right. It sounded like they had some issues with packaging problems, which I never noticed any issues with the packaged beer, but some people were, and most of their beer was sold on premise.
Yeah.
And so what do you need a salesperson for, right, if you have most of your beer being sold on premise?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I hear that.
So maybe that was the thought there, like we need to rethink what we're doing. I don't know. Hmm. Again, I don't know. We need to talk to Hobbs. Maybe Michael Kaiser will talk to get Hobbs on his podcast, and
I feel like that'd be appropriate at this point.
Right,
people are really upset.
Kind of want to know because you know, those guys are great. Tom Corder and Eric Hobbs, they're both they're awesome guys. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So we'll see. All right. So Tour de Fat, which was in Logan last week, you know, just promotes, you know, riding bikes and protecting Mother Earth. So it was a fundraiser. So it raised $61,000 for West Town Bikes and Chirp, which is like a radio station.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they had 10,000 people show up, which was up 2,000 from last year. And then the 61K is up 10 grand from last year.
Damn. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So West Town Bikes and Chirp. So cheers to those guys. The big news this week is probably this Goose Island Bourbon County Stout recall, man.
So this had been rumored.
Like, this is all fucked up.
Like, everyone had been reporting other sour notes, right?
Yeah.
And other beers that weren't the original two, the barley wine and...
And Prop?
Prop, were those the first two that were getting sour notes? Okay. And now it's everything, right?
Yeah, I think this is round two of the recalls. And yeah, it sounds like... and you know, it's funny, now that I think about it, when I was at... whatever Black Friday was, you know, when we went and got the bottles of Rare, right? They give you, you walk into the barrel warehouse, they give you a glass of Rare. And my buddy turns to me, he was like, dude, this kind of tastes a little bit like balsamic vinegar, doesn't it? And I totally blew it off. I mean, he was right, but, you know, I didn't really read into it.
Oh, see, I just bought my bottles. I didn't even go to the actual event.
You would have gotten, well, they gave you a snifter. It was kind of classy, and it was all like, you know, Gustav handing you like a snifter of Rare.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool. But yeah, man, so here you are. Their most revered beer in the entire lineup, right? Not only gets recalled once, but twice in the same calendar year.
Whew.
So apparently, I guess, the vessels, so just to paint the picture, like Goose Brews beer at Clybourne, their production facility, and then they have these mobile vessels, and they transport it off-site to the barrel warehouse, which is in a different building like 2 miles away.
But some of that beer was put into the barrels at the old barrel house and then moved, right?
Okay.
So there was that happened too. But.
Yeah. So you got all these variables, and then you're making like you know, 3-4 times the amount of BCS because you got a bigger space now.
But they still don't know why, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess they're pinpointing it down in some cases, but like you said, you know, it fermented in different locations. And then it sounds like it wasn't even the fermentation vessel that caused it. It could have been the vessel that transported it to its final home.
Or something wrong with the filling.
Or something wrong with the fillings. God, this is horrible, man. So, yeah, so 9 bottling dates. And it's cool because you get to, you know, you can still drink your beer, but you take a photo of the actual bottle, which has a date on it, and then you mail them the neck label. And then they'll give you a refund of $15 on an original BCS and then $25 on proprietor's BCS, which was a Chicago blend.
Okay.
Yeah, which this year was like, you know, basically like a Mexican hot chocolate version of BCS.
I don't know if I have any left. I know some friends do, so maybe I'll have to make sure I pass this info on to them.
Yeah, and I was looking at the dates. It looks like all the dates are basically every bottling in October. Right, and then 2 in November. So the first 2 in November, and all these dates are at the Goose Island website.
Okay.
But yeah, if you got a beer in that date, it might be sour, and you can get a refund.
It might be.
It might be.
It wasn't everyone. I think it's. I've heard like you know every few is sour. It's not.
Yeah.
Yikes! But you could still like even if it's not sour, you can still get a refund.
Yeah, and I'm kind of curious. Like I've got maybe 3 bottles. I kind of want to crack it open and see what a sour barrel-aged stout tastes like, you know?
Yeah, it's like, you know what it tastes like. You've had this. You've had sour.
It tastes like balsamic vinegar, like my buddy was
you've
saying.
You've had it before, yeah.
So there's that.
So how does this affect this year's?
Yeah, I know this year they're doing like a, what is it, like a
scotch?
Yeah, a scotch barrel-aged one.
Are we going to see less lines? Because people are like, not, like especially some of the people that were like, I know we saw pictures and there was like Twitter accounts made of people like buying like cartloads of Bourbon County. I even have a friend who has an entire like closet full and it's like, I don't know, dude, like really? Now it's all bad beer? Like you bought, you spent that time, you waited in line and you can't even drink it because it's not good?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, craft beer drinkers are a weird bunch, man, but... If I were a betting man, I would say that, you know, everyone who couldn't get a ticket to Rare last year or BCS last year, bottle release, would probably, you know, is still salivating and would still line up. I think it'll be just as big a event as it was last year.
Okay.
Having my guess. Although there won't be any Rare this year.
Won't be Rare, yeah.
But there might be King Henry this year. Okay. Because that's what happened last time around. Rare came out. They took the Rare barrels and made King Henry. So we may see that.
But those barrels are bad.
Then you get to drink it and get your money back.
Basically, just give me $20 and this beer.
Yeah.
And I'll let you know.
So.
All right.
So we shall see. The Lagunitas Beer Circus. Tickets for that go on sale July 15th. They are partying September 10th down in Douglas Park at their brewery, the largest brewery in Chicago.
Always hear good things about the circus.
Yeah, circus looks really cool. And apparently the circus started when they were moving from, you know, one town in California to Petaluma, where they are now, and they couldn't really afford to get movers, so they had, like, all their friends come out, and it looked like a parade of just equipment, like, marching down the street. And that was the origins of the Lagunitas Beer Circus.
Nice.
So this is kind of an ode to, you know, them moving equipment.
Okay, I like it.
Yeah, so... And lastly, Stone in California, they are taking $90 million in private equity from a crew called VMG Investments.
Yeah, this story was a little confusing to me.
Yeah.
I read it. I saw people talking about it, and I wasn't really following.
Yeah, it sounds like, well, Stone, they initially announced something like, hey, we want to loan people money and support true craft breweries.
Right.
So, hey, basically don't sell your brewery to AB or Miller.
Right, you know, putting their money where their mouth is, right?
Like exactly.
We will never sell out kind
of
thought.
Yeah. So this is like part of some $100 million fund to invest in craft breweries, right? So, yeah, so they're getting.
But they're getting money from big investor.
Exactly. And, you know, and what we're paying attention to, because, you know, on a much smaller scale, Dogfish Head did this. They sold like 10% of their company to like an investment firm, right? And, you know, Oscar Blues has been getting private equity money for a long time. That's why they've got breweries now in fucking Austin and then as well as the East Coast, like North Carolina.
Right.
So that's a little more sexy than selling your brewery to a big, you know, a big macro brewery, right?
Okay.
So it's kind of, but it's kind of the same thing. I guess principally speaking,
yeah,
it's not as controversial. But we don't know what the intentions. So, for example,
but this is just $90 million. Was it a stake in Stone or was it a stake in the investment of these other breweries?
Yeah, and everyone's
so that's why it's confusing.
Yeah, because like Stone's not commenting on it, and then VMG's not telling you like, well, if they got a stake in Stone or if they just gave them a loan.
Right.
It's a little unclear.
Like, do they have a stake in the investments that Stone makes investing in these other breweries? Maybe
right.
That would, if I was an investing company, I'd be like, that is more promising.
Right, right.
Than Stone, which I don't know where your growth is because you have stalled out a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah, I know they got the new facility in Berlin, and then they have their equivalent of the East Coast expansion, which is like in, you know, I don't know, Ohio, Vermont, something like that. Yeah. VMG Investments, they're known for like the kind, healthy snacks and the pirate booty snacks.
Okay.
Yeah. So they food and beverage is their thing. They throw money into those arenas. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I'm confused a little bit by this
story. It is confusing. Yeah.
But all right, sort of sold, and we don't know if they sold out.
They may have sold. Or they may have just taken a loan.
I think they just took money.
They probably just took the money.
Although I don't like Stone. I don't think they...
Yeah, Stone's like, okay. They're not my first choice for like a West Coast
beer. No, not even like a beer to drink. Yeah. I don't like the like thought. But they do like, we're craft beer and we want to support craft beer. They just have a weird attitude. You know, they are arrogant bastards. And so...
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're not my brewery. They're in California. I have no allegiance to them at all. So,
and they're big. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think there'll be more to this story as the time goes on.
Oh, one more bit of news. So a couple episodes ago, we talked about drinking the Good Rise Wear Black at U.S. Cellular Field when they had their craft beer night.
Oh, right.
So then Jeremiah Zimmer from Hot Butcher to the World, formerly South Loop Brewing, he reached out. He said, hey, you know, I listened to the show, and then he just wanted us to know that they now, instead of taking all the beer up front, they only take 30 to 50 cases at a time, and that ensures that, you know, the stuff is still fresh.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool, man. Yeah, so I just wanted to share that note, man. He reached out, and we're going to get down there and do some more drinking. I haven't seen him in like a year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there you go. So yeah, he cleared that up because that was a question like two episodes ago.
Because it didn't make a lot of sense. Like,
it doesn't make sense at all to buy it all for a fucking four-month baseball season. Like, why would you buy it all the beer at once?
Right.
It didn't make sense. So he cleared that up for us. So
right. I saw a little – I feel like it was a joke article get passed around about how let's move the Sox –
I saw that.
I am not a sports person, that and I read this because I was like, that's kind of interesting.
They're talking about, yeah, like, we'll just move them to Portland. Go to Vegas. You know? And I was like, no way. They've been playing baseball on that corner since like 1901. Like, why would you do that? Like, no.
Would they move them, you think? I mean, but it sounded like the dude that owns them is like super rich and wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry Reinsdorf, you know, he owns the Bulls.
Yeah,
you know,
so why would he move?
Yeah, then he's got to go party in Portland. I don't think,
unless he wanted to really just exit and get out.
Yeah, they got to figure something out though. Attendance is bad. I think that was the key to that article. That the thing that made the most sense. It's like no matter what you do. Over the last like 10 years, attendance has been really bad, like bottom five in the league for attendance. Yeah. Yeah, and meanwhile, the Cubbies are crushing it.
Well, that's because there's a lot to do around there. Maybe with Bader Brow and the new beach and, you know what, the Red Line was down for like a year.
Red Line was down for a year, yeah. So they've thrown money at like the Metro. And they've thrown money at like the, you know, rebuilding the stadium. But I don't think they've explored things to do around that ballpark yet to the point where, okay, we've exhausted it and we can't figure out attendance.
Because if they pay businesses or give them a kickback to like come over there and start like make it a place to go to, even when games aren't going on, like Wrigley's a place to go to.
Wrigley's hopping
all
year long, even when the Cubbies are out. And you know, Rob from Bader Brow brought up a good point because they were looking, Five Rabbit was looking in Bridgeport, and it's where the Sox play. Yeah. And Bader Brow was looking in Bridgeport, but Bridgeport has this belief that, you know, hey, we don't want to be party central. You know, like, hey, we don't really necessarily want a brewery in our town. And maybe it's part of the local dynamic down there that is preventing the Sox from building up something, like you said, around the park so that the park can be full. Yeah.
I don't know. It was interesting, Ray.
It is. They better not move. I mean, I love baseball, and there's no way, you know, when you count the burbs, we're talking 10 million people. There's no way all 10 million of these people can only be served by one baseball team.
Sure.
Ridiculous. I'm appalled at this thought.
Damn it. All right. Well, we should get out of here then before we get ourselves even more riled up here. Nick, where can people find you, get in touch when we're not recording?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Our Facebook page /Chicago Beer Pass. We're sharing events, photos, things like that over there. So check that out for sure. Probably a little more active than our Twitter page. Yeah. And then the website, chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes are posted there, links to iTunes, Stitcher, the YouTube version as well. So if you want to watch us drink these beers, you can. And that'll do it for this week's episode. We'll be back next week with another one.
Cheers.